Genesis chapter 50, and we're going to begin reading in verse 16. If I can catch you up to speed, Joseph has already, I guess you would call it, displayed himself to his brothers. He let them know that I am your brother, and we'll talk about this in a minute. Remember, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, put him in a pit, and started a chain of events that some difficult things that Joseph went through. Now, in verse 16, what has happened is that Joseph had let his brothers know that he was him, he had taken care of them, and now his dad, Jacob, was dying. Look at verse 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying. Now, let me explain. Joseph's brothers, when they came to Egypt and they found out that he was the one in charge, and he said, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to give you a piece of land that I've set aside. And many of you, I've preached this here before, Joseph is a picture of Christ. And it's just like Jesus is preparing a land for us. Joseph prepared a land for his brethren. And so as they go through all this, there was a fear. When Jacob died, Joseph's brothers thought that Joseph would have nothing to do with him. They thought that he's only taking care of us because dad's still alive and he loves dad, and dad's not the one that threw him into a pit. And so they were concerned that when Jacob died, that maybe Joseph would then turn on them because of what they'd done to him. Look at verse 17. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. So let me just take inventory. It's important that you understand this. I will make it as brief as I can, but you got to listen, all right? God has laid this on my heart as we started this series on facing your giants. And I want you to listen very closely. Joseph treated his brothers good after what they'd done to him. But they thought that when dad died, Joseph would then have nothing to do with this. And so they sent word to Joseph after Jacob died that this is what dad had asked, that you would forgive us despite what we've done. That even though he's gone, that you would still love us and treat us kindly. Look, if you would, at verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This morning I would like to speak on the subject, the giant of scars. The giant of scars. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, as we serve you, sometimes the life that we live to serve and to please you, we get some scars. Lord, sometimes there are some things that have happened and they hurt, and Lord, they leave us scarred for life. It's not that we don't serve you anymore, we don't love you anymore, and not that, Lord, that things might not even be better, but the scar is still there. And Lord, if you'd give us grace today, we'd ask you to let your word explain and comfort our hearts as it needs to be done. In your name we pray, amen. You know, you really can't talk about the subject of scars without bringing up Joseph. A lot of people are in counseling nowadays, and that's fine. I certainly recommend it to some, to many actually. But you know, a lot of people are in counseling because of things that happened to them when they were younger. We've talked about this numerous times, but can I just reiterate for the case it might be new to some, that Joseph, his life started out so fortunate. I mean, Joseph was a chosen son. He was a just favored. He was a favorite son, a chosen son. He was the light of his dad's eye. He was the firstborn of Rachel that Joseph loved so much. And Jacob just loved Joseph. But it changed very quickly because he was a chosen son and a favorite son, but he became a resented son. And his brothers got mad and they got jealous. And they finally one day talked the dad into them taking Joseph out. And when they took Joseph out, they threw him into a pit that he could not get out of and sold him into slavery. And then they came back, showed him that precious coat that dad had given him. And there was blood all over that coat. And they said to Jacob that he had died. So they lied about it. They basically kidnapped Joseph, left him for dead, sold him into slavery, lied about his death to his dad. If anybody should have some scars about what people have done or circumstances in life, it would be Joseph. May I say this, that you have to remember that Joseph is a picture of Christ. And as I look at these verses, we call this the Old Testament, Romans 8:28. And it's easy to say, hey, all things work together for good. And it's easy to say, yeah, you meant it for evil and God meant it for good. But can I say that this morning on a Sunday morning, while we look nice and we're dressed nice and everybody acts nice and things seem fine on the home front, that right sitting here this morning, there are individuals sitting in their seat that are scarred. There are some things that have happened in life. It might not have been anything you caused, and it might not have been anything you asked for. You know, there are some people here that have physical scars. I don't really have that many. I have one, and you really can't even see it. I don't know. I don't remember if it's under this nostril or this nostril. I think it's this one. That one's a booger. This is the scar. Okay. When I was young, I might have been 4 or 5. My mom and dad could probably tell you better. I remember the incident. A dog bit me at some people's house that we were. And, you know, I thought all dogs are friendly, I guess, at that time. And you get right in his face, how you doing, little fella? Bam! You know, he just bit. And so he got me right here, and they had to take me to get stitches. Now, I remember that. I don't remember the dog biting me. But I was so young, and things were so different nowadays. I remember that they laid me on a table, and my dad could probably explain this better. But I remember they played Cowboys and Indians, the doctors did. And they were trying to keep me appeased, and while they were playing Cowboys and Indians, they were stitching my upper lip right here, and I still have a little. So that's not much of a scar. Some of you have scars from surgeries and different things. My poor son Caden's got more scars than I do. I mean, already, you know, this kid hadn't even been aware of life yet, and he's got a big old one right there, and he'll have that the rest of his life, you know. And some of you have physical scars, but that's not what I'm talking about. Emotional, mental scars. Things have happened in life. Now, I want to notice something. I want to go through this, but I want you to be very patient. Look, if you would, at verse 19. I want you to notice first, when it comes to scars, the place of God. Look at verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Now, let me tell you how I've always preached this, and I'm not saying this is wrong. I've always said that Joseph looked at the brothers, and they were afraid that he was going to judge them, and he said, hey, am I in the place of God? In other words, I'm not God, but that doesn't make sense really with the passage. You got to take it into context. And this is what I believe that Joseph was saying. Although the brothers were scared because of what they'd done to him, they were afraid how Joseph was going to be. You know what Joseph does? He looks at him, he says, fear not. And what he's saying here is this, I am in the place of God. I am where God wanted me to be. And may I tell you that even though you might be where God wants you to be, that there are going to be some bad things that are going to happen. I'm going to tell you something. Joseph was always exactly where God wanted him to be. When he was in the pit, that's where God wanted him to be. When Joseph spent time in the prison, that was where God wanted him to be. When Joseph was falsely accused, he went from the pit to prison to problems. Now you got Potiphar's wife accusing him of doing something that was wrong, falsely accusing him. Man, this guy can't get a break. Everything in life seemed unfair. Everything seemed wrong. You talk about scar after scar after scar. You're done wrong by your own family, then you're done wrong by your boss's wife, then you're done wrong by two guys in prison that promised they would remember you. Everywhere he went, somebody did something wrong to him. But the whole time he was right where God wanted him to be. Can I tell you that sometimes you can be in the place of God and it'll have some pits and it'll have some prisons, but it's not over yet. You know why? Because before long, Joseph got promotion. And he ended up in the palace. You know, sometimes you got to fear not, because I'm where God wants me to be. Yeah, there might be some pits, and there might be some prison, and there might be some problems, but hold on, because promotion is coming and the palace is coming, and I'm telling you, God is in it. Joseph looks at his brothers and he says, I know it hurt, and I know you feel bad for what you did, but I'm here to tell you, I was in the place of God. I was where I was supposed to be. Look at me, I don't think Caden has his scar because we're doing wrong. I think Caden has his scars because we were doing right. You know, some of you have some scars. It wasn't because you did wrong. It's because you were doing right. You got to remember that I might get some scars and there might be some things that happen. But what's important is that you're in the place of God. I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, the plan of God. Look, if you would, at verse 20. This is what Joseph said. He said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Notice this about God's plan. The first thing I see is this. God's plan rises above others. This is what he says. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. In other words, this, God had a plan that he wanted me to get to. God wanted to make me into what he wanted me to be. God knew that I was going to be in the palace one day. God knew that I was going to be in control of all the food and all the things that go on in the kingdom. God knew all that. But I'm here to tell you, God's plan rises above others. Yes, his brothers meant evil. Yes, they tried to hurt him. Yes, they tried to do all those things. But God always, his plan rises above others. Second thing, God's plan always rises above obstacles. He said, yeah, as for you, you thought evil against me. That means this, Satan himself tried to stop Joseph. Not only did his brothers try to stop him, but Satan tried. And can I tell you this? God has a plan for your life. And if you'll just stay in the place of God and you'll just be faithful to God, can I tell you this? His plan always rises above others, and it always rises above obstacles. Satan can unleash anything he wants to, but God's plan will always come above it. Third thing is this, God's plan always rises above ourselves. You know, sometimes you and I can get in our own way. And sometimes you and I can be difficult for God to work with. And sometimes you and I can rebel against God. But when God has a plan, God does not let go. And Kerwin Baptist Church, that's a good point in the message for you to say amen. God does not let go. He's got a plan, and he's going to work that plan in your life one way or the other. The plan of God. I want you to notice, thirdly, the purpose of God. Why did all this happen? Joseph tells him. Look at verse 20. Last part, but God meant it unto good, notice this, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Two things about God's purpose. Number one, it always prevails. And number two, it always performs. Say, what do you mean? Everybody tried so hard to ruin God's plan and God's purpose for Joseph's life. But this is what Joseph said. Hey, you meant evil at me. But let me tell you something about God. God brought it to pass as it is this day. All that happened, God did it. All that transpired, God took care of it. While I was laying there helpless in that pit, while I was rotten in a prison, while all these people did all these things, God had a purpose through it all. And that purpose was this, to save lives. You know that's always God's purpose, to save. It always is. It always prevails and it always performs. God's purpose is always to save others. Can I tell you something? Maybe you're here this morning and there's been some things in your life that have happened to you and it's left some scars. And those things are giants in your life. You can't get over it. You can't get beyond it. Can I tell you this? That God had a purpose for allowing you to go through that. And God's purpose always prevails. And it always performs. It always does what God meant it to do. It might not make sense to us, and we might not understand why he did it that way, but God has a purpose. I want you to notice, fourthly, the peace of God. This is what he says. I love this. Notice, if you would, verse 21. Now, therefore, Joseph looks at his brothers, and he says what? Fear ye not. The peace of God. You say, he looks at his brothers. I know you're scared of whether I'm going to... Remember, Joseph is a picture of Christ. And he says, I know you've done me wrong, but guess what? I made a promise to you that I would take care of you, and I'm going to keep my promise. Well, if Joseph is a picture of Christ, what is that telling us? Yeah, we might have done wrong to Christ, and we might have rebelled, and we might have blown it sometimes, but God made a promise to us that if we give our hearts to him, he's going to meet our needs. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's made a promise, and he's going to keep it. And that ought to bring peace into your lives. Notice this about the peace of God. To me, this is a blessing to me. Number one, it's always providing. Look, if you would, at verse 21. This is great. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will what? Nourish you. Joseph says, I'll provide for you. Don't you worry. You might say, preacher, all these things have happened, and it's left my life scarred. Oh, listen to me. Don't worry. God will nourish you. He'll meet the needs. Somehow, some way, God will take care of it. Second, not only is it always providing, but it's always protecting. Look at verse 21. I will nourish you and your what? Little ones. Not only does God give provision, but he gives protection. Can I tell you something, dear friend? You might have been scarred because of some things that have happened in your life, but God would never put on you more than you can bear. And when you need his protection, he gives it. There might be some things that he knows where you need to get to spiritually, and he knows he's going to have to let some of these things go, but he's not going to let go of you, and he's not going to leave you unnourished, and he's not going to leave you unprotected. You say, but I just don't think I could take any more. Hey, are you still alive? Are you still breathing? Guess what? You could take it. If you couldn't have taken it, you wouldn't be here. God had it all under control. I want you to notice, thirdly, about the peace of God. It's always precious. Look, if you would, at verse 21, now therefore fear ye not. In other words, have peace. Have the peace of God. I will nourish you and your little ones. Notice this. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. These guys had done him so wrong, but he was kind and he comforted them. Isn't that exactly what Jesus does to us? Even though we've done him wrong, and even though we've rebelled through this whole process, and even though we question him and why he's done what he's done and why he's allowed what he's allowed, can I tell you something? God always speaks kindly to us, and he always comforts. Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I forfeit, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need him most. I want you to notice, lastly, this morning, the promise of God. Look, if you would, at verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Notice this. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph was faithful through all that happened, all the scars. He was faithful. He was committed. He was consistent. He had character. Listen to me. And God saw that this is what God did for him. He let Joseph live 110 years. But notice verse 23. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, Joseph's son Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Man, he became a great-great-grandpa. He got to see every line. He got to see these kids. I mean, he might have been in a wheelchair. I don't know where he was, but I'm going to tell you something. They brought them kids and put them on his knee. He got to see another generation and a next generation and a next generation. And he even was blessed of God enough to get to see one more generation. You know why? Because God keeps his promises. He always does. And let me say what I noticed about this. Number one, God recognizes consistency. Number two, God rewards character. And number three, God remembers his covenant. He said, Joseph, I'll honor you if you stay faithful. And even though you have these scars, even though all these things have happened unto you, if you'll just be faithful and be kind and generous to your brothers, I'll remember you. And that's exactly what God did. God always keeps his covenant. God always honors his promises. I can see as Joseph looked at his brother, and he was already crying because they'd sent message that, you know what, Dad asked, would you forgive us for what we've done? And Joseph looked at him and he says, fear not. I'm in the place of God. I'm exactly where God wanted me the whole time. Yeah, you meant it for evil, but I was right where God wanted me the entire time. And God had a plan, and God had a purpose. Fear not. I will nourish you and your kids. And he comforted them. So you know what God did? He rewarded. He gave Joseph a long, full life. He got to see generation after generation after generation. God always honors his promises. You know, I grew up in Florida. I remember years ago this story. I don't know if it's true. I've not really tried to research it. Never had a name. And I remember being in Florida. I heard this story years ago. I just thought about it this week. So I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to claim it's true because I don't know names. It certainly might be. It was told as if it was true. But I'll never forget, I was in high school, and one of our teachers came in, and he said that he had seen this on the news. I don't know if it's true. I don't know. But this young man, and in Florida, we have problems with what are called alligators. We got problems with that. They do somewhere up in the south, too, other places, Louisiana and all that. But we had problems with gators. I used to go fishing a lot when I was in Florida. And we would see gators, alligators all the time while we were fishing. And in fact, I got into fishing so much that I went fishing with this kid one time. He had a boat. We rode out there in the water. I mean, I had all my tackle boxes. I had all my reels, had all my lures. I mean, I was really into it. I had all this stuff. And that kid was just a bit of an idiot. Now, excuse the expression, but he was an idiot. And he got up trying to be funny, and he turned over that boat. Now, this was in Florida. I know you say Florida. This was in January, and it was freezing cold. And he turned over that boat, and all that money, I had all these tackle boxes and all these reels, it just sunk to the bottom. And the idiot couldn't swim. And there, where our church was, there was a, I don't even know that my mom and dad have ever known this. I might be telling too much this morning. But by near our church was a trailer park, and he lived in that trailer park, and he turned that over. And I had to grab that kid, swim him to the shore. Then I had to go back out to where the boat was, and I went down freezing cold water trying to find my tackle box. I never could find it. Water was just dirty and filthy. I just couldn't find it. I got back up on the shore, the only time in my life, punched the dickens out of that boy. Walked away. I didn't fish much ever since then. I just lost everything I'd invested. I got mad. But that day, we saw alligators. We see alligators all the time. And in southern Florida, I think right around the Fort Lauderdale area, there was a young man that was in his house and had a pool in the backyard. Somehow this alligator had gotten that pool. And this young man went outside, and they had a pool there on a river. And so he had walked around the pool, was going down to the river, and an alligator's there. He didn't see it. And that alligator came up and grabbed that young man's leg and began to pull him towards the water. Well, that young man began to scream. And his mother was inside doing dishes, and she looked out and saw that alligator pulling that young man towards the river. Well, as it was reported, that woman ran out of that house, got down, and grabbed her son by his arms. She started trying. She knew if that alligator got that boy in the water, he'd be dead. And she started trying to pull on him, and that alligator just was clomped down on his leg, and he got a piece of the ankle, and she was pulling on that against, and that alligator was pulling against it, trying to pull that kid in. Somehow, some way, that mom got that child out of that gator's mouth, and that gator went back in that water. And, of course, he had to go to the hospital. He was treated for numerous wounds. And they were interviewing the mom and the young boy, which is how this teacher at our school said he had heard it. And they were talking to the young boy about the experience and how scary it was and all this stuff. And that young boy rolled up his pant legs. And the reporter was there, and he rolled up his pant legs, but he just had gouges and stitches all over his legs. The alligator just bit almost through his leg. And he looked at that reporter, and that reporter said, "Boy, aren't those some bad scars?" And that young boy looked at the reporter. He pulled up his legs. He said, "Yeah." He said, "These are my bad scars." And then that boy rolled up his sleeves. There was fingernail marks and scratches all through his arms where his mother, in desperation, just would not let go. And she was just scraping those arms and just held on and pulled him out. And that boy said, "These are my bad scars." And he rolled up his sleeves and he said, "But these are my good ones." This is where mom didn't let go. And I thought this week as I was dealing with this about scars, dear friends, some of you have some bad scars, but some of you have some good ones too. Because the scars you bear in your life is just proof that he never let go of you. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, I know we've tried to make an attempt to hurry through what you've laid on my heart. But Lord, I know we have some people with some pretty deep scars. Sometimes, Lord, I know some of the scars I have, they're only there because you just didn't let go. You didn't let Satan just take me without a fight. Oh, it almost seemed as if I wanted to, but you just held on. Yes, it hurt, and yes, it left some marks, and yes, it scarred, and yes, some of the things I've been through, you had to change me and mold me, but they're good scars because it proved you didn't let go. God, I want to thank you for your grace that was sung about this morning, and I want to thank you for your blood that never loses its power. And God, this morning, as we have people that are scarred, Lord, they could be giants that we just can't get beyond, but Lord, help each of them to realize that some of those scars are there because you just wouldn't let go. The fact that they're in church this morning is a sign that you're not done, you haven't given up, you still love them, and there's still a plan and a purpose for their life. Lord, I pray you'd meet needs here this morning. Dear friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you're saved, oh, I'm telling you, give your heart to Christ. He won't ever let go. He's promised eternal security to those that love and accept him as their Savior.